Good evening. Welcome to prayer meeting here at Willsburg Baptist Church. Greetings to everybody online who's tuning into the live stream. It's good to be with you. Good to spend time in prayer together as a community. And I just appreciate the church making the time to pray. So much of prayer is just making the time and the place to pray, and so we're going to do that tonight. The theme for our evening is seeking the Son and Spirit in suffering for spiritual transformation or spiritual formation. So we've heard a lot about the Son through our sermon series in Hebrews. We heard a lot about the Spirit in Romans 8, and we're kind of reviewing those in our prayer time tonight, and then getting to a point where we're asking God for some specific things here at the end. So we're going to begin with a little bit of a scan, if you will. So if you turn to the book of Hebrews, we're going to look at the supremacy of Jesus as we've been hearing about that Jesus is better from the book of Hebrews, from Pastor Brad's sermons. And we have in chapter 1 the reminder that God, and at many times and in many ways, has made himself known. But in these last days, he made himself known through his Son. And so his Son is the, we can say, use many words to describe him as the revelation of God, the climax of the revelation of God, the highest point of the revelation of God, the clearest revelation of God, the clearest demonstration of his glory, the clearest representation of his nature, the clearest demonstration of his power. We can see all kinds of things in those opening verses in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. We see that he is higher than the angels. To none of the angels did he say, "You are my son." We see, and as we move into chapter 2, that he is greater than Moses. But really chapter 3, the opening verses of chapter 3 is where I wanted us to read from to get started this evening. And we'll take just a moment soon, and we're going to give specific biblical praises to the Son in just a moment. But we're going to read this text, and then I believe Dave is going to come and lead us in Christ Alone. Singing, again, turning our hearts and minds toward the Son. And then we'll offer those praises to Christ. And so I want you to think about, what do you want to praise Christ for tonight? It can be something that we've learned in Hebrews. It can be something that you've learned elsewhere in Scripture. But what is it specifically? We want to have short, specific prayers of praise and adoration to Christ. That's what we're going to lean into in just a moment. But let's read Hebrews 3, verses 1 through 3 together. The scriptures say, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house, as much more honor than the house itself." Dave, would you come and lead us in song?
Striving cease, in Christ alone, took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, that the God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and now he stands in victory, since grief has lost its grip on me, for I am his, he is mine, bought by the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. The power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns, calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you, Dave. Now, if you would stand with me, let's stand but bow our heads. And if you have a specific praise to Christ the Son that you'd like to offer, then pray it out loud so we can all hear. How would you praise the Lord Jesus this evening? Yes, Lord, you're a good friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Because of the work that you did on the cross, we can be part of the family. We have access to the throne of grace to come.
Yes, God.
To speak to our heavenly Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus, hear these praises, and may they be pleasing to you. May they bring you joy. We're so grateful for who you are and all that you've accomplished. And if we might end our praise on praising you for what you've accomplished. We've heard these many weeks about that rest is satisfaction with accomplishment. And it's, as we heard this morning, it's not satisfaction with our own accomplishments, but it's finding satisfaction in your accomplishment. And it's your work. And your work is praiseworthy because you are the one who did it. And that's why it's so satisfying and such an accomplishment, because you did it. And you are Son of God and the Christ and Lord. And we praise you. We praise you this evening. We ascribe unto you all these glories and attributions and works that you've accomplished, these mighty deeds, these wondrous works. Thank you for showing us the Father. Lord Jesus, hear our praises. Amen. Have a seat. This next part, one of the other things that's come up in our study of Hebrews is the unbelief of believers. That was the sermon that has hit me the hardest so far, the unbelief of believers, that we as believers can struggle with unbelief. And I think the man in Mark 9, I think it is, who says, "I believe, help my unbelief." I mean, that's sometimes we find ourselves right there. And these believers in the book of Hebrews who are receiving the sermon are also finding themselves in this space of struggling with unbelief. And they're not the first group to have done this. If you have your Bibles, I would like to look briefly at Numbers 13 and 14. Before we move into our next song and time of prayer. In just a moment, Derek's going to come and lead us in song. come thou fount of every blessing. And there's that line in there about our hearts being prone to wander. And I want you to think about what we've heard in Hebrews, but also what we hear in Numbers. I'm not going to read all of this, but this context of Numbers 13 and 14, among other things in the Old Testament, is really important to the book of Hebrews. I think that the author either directly or indirectly appeals to this situation throughout his sermon, throughout his writing. And you'll recall that in chapter 13, the Lord speaks to Moses and asks him to send out spies into the land of Canaan. They are right on the edge of the promised land. And the Lord has him send out 12 spies to scout out the land. And they are named here in chapter 13, from one from each tribe, and exactly what they are to do when they go into the land. And they spend, I think, 40 days in the land. And they do all the things they were supposed to do while they're there. And then in verse 25, they come back and they give their report. The scriptures say in Numbers 13:25, at the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." Verse 30, "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them.'" Chapter 14, "Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel." I mean, this is a big deal. This is it. I mean, this is the moment to believe. "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us." There's faith. "A land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones, but the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. And it goes downhill from there. So thinking about what Hebrews has been saying to us, what this passage, which I believe is really on the author's mind in the book of Hebrews as he's addressing his contemporaries in the faith, in the church, we want to think about, as we sing, what is it that causes our hearts to wander? What are the situations and scenarios right now in life that stir up the struggle with unbelief. And after Derek sings, we'll come together, we'll get in some groups, and we're gonna in our groups work on, and I know this could be maybe a little uncomfortable, that's okay. Get with some people you feel like you trust. If that's family, that's fine. If it's other two fam, that's fine. Groups don't have to be any particular size. But we want to work on confessing our unbelief. Lord, it might help us with each, that fellowship might help us hearing how one another is struggling with unbelief. And I want to encourage you in that, to pray in that way. So Derek, if you'll come, and Joe, if you'll play, let's stand and sing together, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing."
Everybody's taller than me. Let's make a joyous noise to the Lord.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by godly pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you.
All right, let's find some groups, whoever you'd like to group with. And again, the focus is sharing a little bit about where you struggle with unbelief in your daily life. And then praying in your groups, confessing those things to the Lord. And we're going to move into asking for help for those things in just a second. But right now, let's just have this is where I struggle, Lord. This is where I struggle with faith. I struggle with belief in this area or in this situation. And when we come back, if somebody in the group would be willing to be sort of the spokesperson, we'll share some of those things that in the group we struggled with and maybe find some fellowship and help in those things. So I'll turn you loose for a few minutes.
All right, friends, we'll bring it back together here. You can stay wherever you are. Hopefully you've got a spokesperson who can kind of summarize a little bit, and we'll just start over here and work our way over. And we just want you to share, what are some of the struggles with unbelief?
What was the question? They were in my ear.
What's sort of the summary of struggles with unbelief or not trusting God?
Yeah, someone mentioned anger that they struggle with. My apologies. Someone mentioned anger. We talked a lot about that. Talked about the disconnect sometimes of not seeing God's sovereignty in your life. Whether, you know, my kids mentioned struggles they have in school. And not seeing that at your age is God working in your life. Problems at work, issues that you're having. Just not connecting it to God's sovereignty. You know.
That's good. So struggle with God, are you sovereign in this situation, this circumstance? Yeah. Not seeing Him working. Passivity and not looking, not trusting, not actively trusting. That's good. You guys got a... All right.
Well, I know in our group, there's been some years of bad theology, which makes knowing God a lot harder, really truly trusting who He is. So there's some of those things to work through. There's, as mentioned from the other group, there's... personal emotions that, you know, it's hard to trust God with, submitting them to Him, knowing that ultimately He's got our good at stake for that. I'll speak for myself on this one. It's obviously, you see us sitting in our little group. It's hard from, I wasn't planning on that, but just being hurt by people, learning to expose ourselves to letting other people in and trusting God to help us with that, because we're here, He put us here, so I need to learn to start trusting others.
You guys have a group back here? Okay.
Yeah, we talked about a couple of different things. One, kind of several things wrapped up in this, in the busyness of life. It's easy to not redeem the time well, to be consistent in relying upon the Lord, exercising the rhythms of grace. And then when you get into the pressure of getting a lot done, to rely upon yourself as opposed to a constant reliance and walking with the Lord in that faithfulness and that temptation to get pulled that way. So that's one. And then two is this, the fear of man. When it comes to having difficult conversations, reaching outside of your comfort zone, and continuing to do what the Lord has called us to do, but do it boldly for His honor and glory.
Excuse me, God, what comes through? I'm sorry.
Our unbelief shows up lots of different ways for us. We were talking about people that maybe we're not seeing God in the situation, so it exposes our unbelief. The fear of man that was talked about. Why, if I was really believing God, why wouldn't I be having this conversation about Him with this person? Sometimes it shows up when we're alone. We really just don't believe He's with us when we're facing situations and we don't make Him a part of it. So we talked about those things and we confessed them to Him together. So, yeah.
All right, I wrote some things down. Oh, here we go.
All right. I just wrote down as people were speaking, and here's some things that we were thinking about that we struggle with believing. historical things was one thing. It's amazing that God stays with us. I still sin, but God helps. The need for Jesus daily. It's frustration that gets in the way. Kids in school that do not honor God. Unsaved family members. Wondering why, you know, God hasn't done something in their lives yet. Praying for people many years without salvation. Trusting God in work issues. Peace in my life. Gets taken away at times. And then just the last one was struggling to trust God for the ministry at Tri-State.
All right, who we got over here? Michael?
Couple different themes. You know, thinking about how difficult it can be to share the gospel with people and kind of getting caught up with our own inadequacies in that and not really trusting that he'll provide the grace in that situation, that he'll provide the words. And I think life in general feels that way. We're really not trusting him with what lies ahead and maybe focusing too much on our own shortcomings. But probably the main one would be, you know, we talk a lot about Romans 8:28. It's one of the most beautiful promises in the Bible. God works all things for the good of those who love him. But when you've got, you know, high school friends diagnosed with cancer, when you've got friends who have died, unbelievers, and they've just, they've been, you know, gone for 10 years, and wow, where have they been, and what's their hope? It's hard to wrap your mind around things like that. But also when you go through really horrible things, really terrible losses, it's just really hard to understand how God could be working this for good. It's hard to trust him, that this could be for good. And even trusting him in that doesn't always take away from how much it hurts and how much things are still wrong and painful in this life.
Well, we struggle with unbelief. I mean, a little bit of time together, and I think that I hope that as we prayed together, as we sort of confess these things together, that we realize that we're not alone in this struggle. I mean, we are a congregation of strugglers. Secure strugglers, as we heard from Romans 8. One of the things that we struggle with is trusting God. My hope is that just like the Father prayed in Mark 9, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I hope that tonight we'll get a little bit of help. You know, it's we'll get the help we need for now. Get the help we need for now. And that the Lord throughout our lives will keep helping us. And the next song is He Will Hold Me Fast. And we want to trust the words of this song tonight. Douglas is going to come and sing for us. And I hope coming out of that confession time that this song will be sweet to you. That you will believe that He will hold you fast in the midst of all the trouble that may be surrounding your life. So Douglas, come and sing for and lead us in song.
Douglas and everyone will sing the song. I found myself with lost my voice this afternoon, but also as that time of confession, that was just precious to be part of that with our brothers and sisters. This is Romans 8, as we mentioned. 31 says, "What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him upon for us all, how he not also with him graciously give us all things?" I ask you to stand for this song. We all fight, as we heard, we fight sin, we fight suffering, but we also fight the self-reliance daily. And this is a song that will work us through our struggles and lean on upon the ones that are holding us fast. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the temper would prevail, He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He will hold me fast, He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those He saves are His delight, Christ will hold me fast. Precious in His holy sight, He will hold me fast. He will not my soul be lost, His promises shall last, bought by Him at such a cost. He will hold me fast, He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. For my life He bled and died, Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied, He will hold me fast. Raised with Him to endless life, He will hold me fast. Till our faith is stirred to sigh, when He comes at last. He will hold me fast, He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast, He will hold me fast, He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will. Amen.
That's good news, isn't it? Amen. He will hold me fast. For this third movement of prayer, we want to give God thanks. We want to take some time to thank God as we've moved from praising Jesus to confessing our unbelief. Now we want to thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit in suffering. And for this, we want to look briefly at Romans chapter 8. And we spent a lot of time in Romans 8 weeks ago. And I specifically want to look at verse 26. Let me give you a few verse 16 and then verse 26 and 27. And we want, from this text, we want to thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit in suffering. Remember, the context, once we get to verse 18, is suffering. Suffering in the present that doesn't outweigh the glory that's to come. But there's the reality of suffering in the present as we wait for a hope unseen. And it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is there in the in-between, if you can think of it that way. Where's the help come from as we're waiting for the glory, living in suffering? It's the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 16, Paul writes that the Spirit himself bears witness. ESV says with. I would translate it to our spirit. There's a testimony, a witnessing that the Holy Spirit does to our spirit, that we are children of God. If you drop down into verse 26, this experience of the Spirit's witness comes through in some very specific ways, some specific help. Verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, that word weakness, it's a very broad term that can cover all kinds of different weaknesses, from everything from sickness to sorrow to persecution to all kinds of infirmities and weaknesses that we encounter in this life. But Paul gets really specific in the very next verse, or the very next part of this verse. He explains, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. That's the weakness he has in mind here. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Or as we should. Specifically in suffering. Because do I ask for healing or endurance? Right? Do I ask for this problem to be resolved immediately or to let it linger that I might learn wisdom? Which one? And the reality is, we don't know. And that's hard. And that's the friction of living life between suffering and hope and glory. And that's where we experience all the things that come with sorrow and pain and faith and unbelief and perseverance and failure. All those things happen in that space where we're weak. We don't know how we ought to pray. But the promise here is that the Spirit helps in our weakness. The contrast later in the verse is, but when we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. You're not the only one praying. Someone else is praying. The Holy Spirit's praying with groanings too deep for, with wordless prayers, basically. Groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind or the goal or the aim of the Spirit. So if we take Jesus as the one who's searching the hearts, it just says he who searches the hearts, God or Jesus is searching the hearts. He knows what the mind of the Spirit, what the goal of the Spirit is in this moment, in this suffering, in this weakness when you don't know how to pray. And so the Spirit knows how to intercede. He intercedes to Jesus, who intercedes to the Father. So you have help. Brothers and sisters, you have help. And the good news is the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When we don't know how to pray the will of God, the Spirit knows how to pray the will of God for healing or endurance, in suffering or relief. He knows how to pray the will of God in the midst of those situations. And that's when Romans 8:28 comes, right? And we know all things, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Why? Because not because I'm strong in figuring out the will of God. It's because the Spirit's interceding according to the will of God. That's why things will work out for my good. And what's the goal? You might say, well, what is the goal? Verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, here it is, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, the difficulty is, to be conformed to the image of the Son requires both suffering and glory. And the Spirit is navigating that in your life specifically. Specifically for you to get to that kind of goal. Conformed to the image of Christ when you're raised from the dead, fully and finally. So right now, what I'd like us to do is to take some time. I'll tell you what, we'll do this privately. We'll do this privately. And then we've got one more movement in prayer. So privately, and you can pray as you're sitting, you can kneel on the floor, you can stand up and raise your hands. So however you want to thank God in whatever posture, take just a few minutes and thank God specifically for the help of the Holy Spirit in your suffering, in your weakness. Can we do that? Okay, let's give thanks in specific ways for the help of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, thank you for this Spirit, that song that says there is a Redeemer. It also says that you've left your Spirit here with us until the day that Christ returned, until the work is done. And so, Lord, we thank you for his help. We thank you that we're not alone in suffering, that we have a close and near intercessor, someone who groans with us. Someone who understands far better than we do the meaning and significance of suffering in our lives and things that are going on. And he knows how to work in us and move us and cause us to experience you in ways that will result in our good. That will result in your will, which is good. And will result in this final transformation into the image of Christ. I always, when I hear this about the Spirit, I always think of Jesus on the cross. Two of the things he said were, my God, why have you forsaken me?
And just seems shortly thereafter, he also prayed, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He trusted you. And Lord, those are the kinds of prayers we pray in suffering that we know how to. But we know that the Spirit is working, and we give you great thanks for his help. And Lord, help us to experience his help and to know his help. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For this final movement of prayer, we want to ask God for some things. We want to ask, as you've thought about Jesus tonight, as you've prayed through some unbelief, as you've thanked God for his help through the Holy Spirit, what do you want to, if you could be spiritually formed and matured tonight, or more, we at Tri-State, we always talk about spiritual vitality and maturity. Those are two things we talk about for our students, spiritual maturity and vitality. If you could be changed in one way tonight with regard to either maturity or vitality spiritually, what would it be? What do you want to be changed? What do you want to be, how do you want to be transformed right now? What's something that, and if we think contextually about your knowledge of Jesus or your unbelief or help of the Holy Spirit, ministries of the Holy Spirit, what specifically would you like to be formed and changed into? And the way I thought we would do this is we've got Pastor Michael, we've got Pastor Brad, we've got Pastor Matt, and we've got me. And I thought the four of us would split up, and we just have four groups. And I'd like there to be just brief sharing, and then pastors, if you'll pray for each of the groups. And then we'll come back and sing a final song and be done. Okay? So find a pastor. And you can mix up. You can go somewhere else this time. And how do you want to be changed? How do you want to be transformed right now?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Pastors, thank you for leading us. Dave's going to come and close us out with a song. This one, I don't know how familiar this one is, Dave, do you? All right. If you want your hymnal with the music, it might help. Page 249. The hymn is called Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart. And let's stand together as we close out.
To feel that thou art always.
Song. Oh, I'm thankful new songs are coming out. I really am. But I'm telling you, if they've been around long enough to be in the hymn book, it's because the words have been well thought out and they have survived time. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm encouraging you, get your hymn book and sing a song every day from your hymn book. I have those kind of times with God, and like, my word, I want my heart to be an altar, and I want him to be the flame. I mean, that was just a powerful image. So thank you, Rex. Pray, redeem people, pray the word. This is what we just did, and this is exactly what... There's a far cry from what we just did than, Lord, bless us tonight. Nothing wrong with that prayer. We have way too many. Lord, just bless us tonight. This was like, okay, move beyond, just bless me, and that was beautiful. Thank you so much.